G'day, this is Big Brody Marshall.
This is Brian Alvarez.
This is Dean Brady of the Millennials.
This is the Jurassic Punk Sid Parker.
How many of you guys have heard the term kid face?
Hello, Doggers. This is Jay Hunter from OSW Review.
This is Mac Grim Basso.
This is the loosest in Australian wrestling, Adam Brooks.
This is Scrap Brand Adam Pearce, and you are locked in
to Wrestle Radio Australia.
Welcome, everyone, to your longest-running, longest-on-hiatus, I guess, Australian wrestling podcast, Wrestle Radio Australia. I'm your host, Todd Eastman, and trying something different here now with the vodcast version that's going to be on YouTube. And what we figure we're going to do from that is we'll do these, the vodcast, but also rip the audio and put them up on the normal podcast feed. So everything you get normally on Wrestle Radio Australia, you will. Just, you can also see my ugly face and the guys that I talk to and girls that I talk to on a weekly basis or whenever I get a chance, because let's face it, I'm not exactly on clockwork when it comes to episodes. And a lot of that had to do with the start of the year, of course, AWA, which I helped book, and PWL, Pro Wrestling League, which I was general manager of, and also just helped a little bit with video and stuff like that behind the scenes. They merged, which sort of made work a little bit more for me, which is fine, which is great. It's what I love doing. I love helping out professional wrestling in Australia. And so, yeah, I didn't really get a chance to do this show that much, and I've kind of missed it. So I'm glad to be back, even though it's under these circumstances where we don't have anything going on show-wise. I thought it might be good to talk to the guys to find out what they're doing in this enforced break, because we all have to find something to keep ourselves busy and keep ourselves sane. And I guess this is, for me, this is going to be one of the things I do to try and keep myself occupied mentally while we're forced on this break. Anyway, the first guest we have on the show for this version of Wrestle Radio Australia is Zeke Andino and Sebastian Matters, two guys that up here in Queensland were doing really, really well, and also went over together to the Farley Dojo to train to hopefully get into the New Japan Dojo, which the Farley Dojo is turning into after that class that they were in. So we're going to talk to those boys and find out all about the Farley Dojo, or their experiences over there, and how they're dealing with this enforced break we're all on right here at Wrestle Radio Australia. I am joined here on the first video version of the Wrestle Radio Australia podcast by Zeke Andino and Sebastian Matters. How are you, boys?
I'm good.
I'm pretty good, thanks. How are you, Todd?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. Now, you two have something very much in common, is that you got caught up in this whole corona bullshit while you were at the Farley Dojo. So they had to, how did you find out that was it? They were going to cut it short and send you guys home. We'll go with you first, Zeke.
They didn't necessarily want to send us home. They gave us an option. For me, my dad sent me a message in regards, because I was flying with Air New Zealand, and he said, and in the message it was all the places that were going to be affected. And I showed my friends, because like Houston and Chicago airports were shutting down, or like Air New Zealand was going to stop flying there. And one of them like booked his flights instantly back home, because he just wanted to play it safe. And I thought we were going to be sweet. And I spoke to the coaches, and I'm like, I'm going to see you at the camp. Like it'll be sweet. Australia won't be that bad. And then within the space of a few hours, next thing you know, like everyone, like they were putting out, Australians need to get on the next flight home, like wherever you are over the world. And that's when I started to like kind of start thinking like, oh man, this sucks. And Farley-san spoke to all of us, which is very nice. And he said, you know, it's understandable if you want to go home and be with family. And it was hard for me to accept, because it, like, of all the hard work and the sacrifices you make to get to where you are. But I mean, everyone's been affected by it. So, yeah.
How about you, Seb? Because you were there. You'd done it before, and you'd gone back for a second of travel. So how'd you go with that?
Yeah, no, I found it tough, especially kind of going back for redemption after leaving Japan. I was like, just set on, it does not matter what they throw at me, I'm just going to do it. And with all of this coming up, it was to an extent out of my control. Like, I mean, I guess I could have stayed there and by now been stuck there and trapped there. But, yeah, I was really just adamant on sticking out this, whatever else they throw at me, just to get through it and get to New Japan. And I think, yeah, having this, it was kind of like an unavoidable sort of hurdle that it's now kind of, yeah, we don't know when we'll be going back. And I think that kind of just makes it really tough, this whole delay. And like, yeah, who knows what's going to happen after all of this.
Yeah, well, I told you a while ago on text, it's like, for me anyway, it feels like the whole of the wrestling industry, the whole of every industry has got a torn ACL at the moment, and we're just out. Nothing we can do. We've got no control over it. We just have to rehab, and then when we're all good to go, come back as good as we can.
Yeah, I feel Queensland wrestling probably will be affected the most by it. I think all the other states, with PWA, MCW, RCW, Rampage, EPW, they've kind of established themselves, and I felt we were in the middle of establishing ourselves. We're not quite there yet. And I don't know how easy it's going to be to come back from this, because we're definitely going to lose, well, everyone will lose momentum, but I think we really need it.
And we had, that's the worst part. Mm. The worst part is we had really good momentum. Like after that last show, that last show sold out, we were looking really good to go into the next show, and then all this shit hit, and it was like, oh, it's the last thing you need.
Yeah, I think as well it sucks for EC finally getting his opportunity, having the big match with Robbie and Mitch, and now who knows when that's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. What were you going to say before, Zeke? Sorry?
I was just going to say, I hope people come back with excitement. Like, they've missed out on so much wrestling that they just want to come back and support everyone. Because when I was on social media, I saw heaps of fans, like, they would say to, like, companies, like, hey, if you're selling any merch, drop the link here, and we still want to support you. So I feel like there's a possibility everyone's going to get together as a community and we could come back bigger and stronger. But then again, it might take time to build. Like, time will tell.
Yeah, it's going to be really hard, because even when, say, this thing does go for 6 months, that means you guys have not trained, you haven't bumped, you haven't done anything for 6 months. You're going to have to take some time to, like, get back into ring shape before you can even really put on your best efforts, really.
And
I think as well, going from New Zealand, when we're being able to train every day and stuff as well, and we kind of get in that habit, and with the AWA school or AWL school, we're all kind of training more now, and now it's kind of taken away from us.
Why not just from what I do, and like, obviously I don't train, look at me, but just all the other stuff, like the planning, the shows, the doing the production, all that all just stopped dead. And then not only that stopped dead, every sport stopped dead. So it's not like, oh, I'll just watch NBA. It's gone. It's done. Everything stopped. So because I know when you guys came back, you had to go to 14 days of the isolation thing. How did you guys deal with it? Sebi, you'd almost be used to it after your trip to Japan. So did you handle that a little bit better?
Yeah. I ended up kind of finding it okay. I'm lucky I've got a decent enough home gym. So I was mainly just focusing on trying to keep as much momentum as I've built across the 6 weeks in New Zealand to kind of keep training. I also didn't mind being able to catch up on a lot of like Netflix and YouTube and stuff as well, like getting to watch like Tiger King and all of that. So it was good. I kind of think the 2 weeks went pretty quickly, and now I'm kind of bummed because now I don't have the excuse of I'm in isolation, I can't leave. Like, now I've actually got to do some adult stuff.
What about you, Zeke? How are you handling it? Or how did you handle it?
Man, I personally struggled for not because I was in isolation, it was just the fact that it got cut short. Because I guess, yeah, I don't know, like from the moment I came home, I'd only seen my family for about 5 days because I did the American trip for 3 months, came home for Christmas, then I moved to Victoria to go and work so I could save up for the dojo, then I was in the dojo. So when it got cut short, I just like lost all motivation. I could only really stay in my room all day, but I didn't care to train. Like I'd go out and instead of doing like 500 squats, I'd maybe just do like 100 and maybe a few free weights. I just wasn't feeling it. I'd do like 30 minute workouts instead of an hour and a half or something. But as Seb said, now that I'm out of isolation, there's no excuse, and I've had my time to feel sorry for myself, I guess. And the first thing I did was went to Sporty's Warehouse, looked for weights. A couple of like my old PTs have hit me up to help me out, and I'm just getting back into the rhythm of things now and just trying to have a positive mindset.
How for you anyway, Zeke, how was the dojo compared to Black and Brave? Because you've been to both now. So how was it? Was it completely night and day with the way they train? How did the dojo compare to training at Black and Brave?
Two different styles, man. It's so the dojo, you're training all week pretty much, it doesn't stop. And also other things discipline wise that was all new to me. Always being on your game, whereas at Black and Brave you're training wrestling 3 times a week, but you're also having to do CrossFit workouts, and it was just different. And I feel like, geez, it's hard because I was only at the dojo for 6 weeks and we were just getting into like really knuckling down on the wrestling and all that. Black and Braves was just pure, you're learning wrestling and that kind of American style that we're all used to. Whereas at the Filet Dojo, we got to do BJJ, kickboxing, boxing, and they're all martial art disciplines I've always been interested in. So yeah, they're two different, very different wrestling schools. One obviously leads you to Japan, I guess, or helps you get to Japan. The other one kind of broadens the horizon, whether it's WWE or making a name for yourself on the indies. But yeah.
And Seb, how was it after going to the actual New Japan dojo over in Japan to going back to Farley? How was that? Was it very much similar? Or I know that you really struggled in Japan just because of the worst part of it, the isolation. You find Farley a lot easier in that sort of route because you had, I guess you got more people that speak English to start. That has to help.
Yeah, I think it was, I mean, between the two times I've been to New Zealand and Japan, like the training is tough. I definitely do think it's not for everyone. The big thing in New Zealand, though, like you said, there's more people speaking English. You've got more people who at that moment are going through the same stuff as you. In Japan, there's kind of all the different levels. You're kind of at the bottom and it's hard not really having anyone that's going through it at that time with you. But I think in New Zealand, when we're all there doing that 3 months, we're all doing the same training, you know that you're not alone. And then, yeah, we kind of have each other to be kind of bouncing off of the whole time, which makes so much easier.
Can imagine. So what are you guys watching now because you can't really train, you can't really, all you can really do is do research and watch wrestling. What wrestling do you guys like to watch when you're sitting around at home at the moment? Sorry. I really should throw it to one or the other. I apologize.
Well, yeah, when we kind of just sit there awkwardly. But it's funny. I found, I started watching wrestling in 2006. And then I started in 2009 wrestling. And I'd say by probably about 2014, 2015, I got over watching wrestling. I don't really know what it is. For me, watching it, I then just kind of get the itch to be doing it. So I haven't really been watching a whole lot of wrestling lately, but I think now that we can't actually wrestle, I have been watching a bit more. But I've been watching more like New Japan, and this part with like Will Ospreay, I just think he is the best wrestler in the world right now, and he's probably my idol right now, who I look up to, who I want to be more like. My goal being Japan, I feel I'm watching more New Japan stuff because that's the sort of style I need to work on, and that's the style I'm intending on doing. So like for me watching WWE, I'll watch Edge and Orton because it kind of brings me back to why I started wrestling and why I fell in love with it. But a lot of the new WWE stuff, I'm just not really into.
Yeah. What about you, Zach?
Yeah, I'm the same as Seb when I started watching it around the same time, like 05, 06. But those past 2 weeks, as I said, I didn't really care for wrestling because I was just so down about coming home. But then a match that actually like got me to search up if there was any professional wrestling in Queensland was, Brock Lesnar versus John Cena versus Seth Rollins from the Rumble in 2015. And the particular moment was when Seth did that elbow drop to Brock through the announce table. And I don't know why that moment suddenly made me look up if there's any wrestling companies. But a few days ago, that match just popped up on YouTube. And I'm like, oh, I'll just watch that one moment that got me into wrestling. And I ended up being glued, and I watched the whole match. And then I went back and watched Taker and Shawn Michaels from 25, and then the build-up to Triple H and Undertaker. But I'm the same as Seb. I'm addicted to New Japan Pro Wrestling. I love watching Shingo, Will Ospreay, Okada, Ibushi, pretty much all of it, man. That's what I study the most. And since I want to be in New Japan and go through that Young Lion system, I also try and study the Young Lion matches because that's, I guess, where you first kind of, that's the first step of building up. I tend to go back and watch a lot of the G1 and Best of the Super Junior matches, and I love Naito and Okada from this past Wrestle Kingdom. I thought like the whole story behind that was quite awesome.
I know personally, because I was talking about Steve Corino with one of the guys, with Bobby. I was talking about Steve Corino with him. And it got me to go back to ROH back in 2012. That whole, I don't know if you guys know about it, they did the whole Scum storyline, which led to Matt Hardy being in there and all that. And just that, because I hadn't watched that in ages. And luckily, YouTube looks like it's got all of the 2012, their TV show, the ROH weekly show online. Okay. So I've just been slowly working my way through that, because I don't know about you guys, but I can't watch I like, don't get me wrong, I still watch WWE. I can't watch it at the moment because just not hearing a crowd, it really throws me off. I think we talked to you about that earlier, Sebi. It's just that I can't, without hearing a crowd reaction, it's so hard for me to get into it myself.
And yeah, personally,
I think...
Go on. Oh, you go.
No, you go. You're the guest.
No, you go.
I think for me, the big thing has been like that last SmackDown, I think it was, before Mania. I saw the video, like the highlight of, I think it was King Corbin throwing Elias off that little stage. And I just can't deal with there's obviously a crash pad. No one's taking a 15-foot concrete bump in front of no one. And it was just like the little things like that. The ladder match on night one when Jimmy or Jay, whatever Uso was in the ladder match, got pushed off and they'd kind of hide where he lands and then kind of pan back. All those little cuts, I can't do. I can't watch that.
I honestly think that's why that Boneyard match was such a hit, because it didn't need a crowd there to pop for certain spots, because they had that they had like the thematic music through it, which I think made it more palatable to watch.
I think it was also good to experiment with things like that kind of now, because no one wants to buy a ticket to a wrestling show with Undertaker and AJ Styles advertised as a match and then have to just watch it on the big screen. Now, while they don't have crowds, it's kind of a time when it's okay to be doing things like that as well.
Yeah, I saw some people online going, we need more matches like that. If you had a whole show of matches like that, you'd hate it. You need those. It needs to be special things. You can't just always have that stuff, because then it becomes, this is why people don't pop for fucking DDTs anymore, because everyone does them. It loses its specialness.
Yeah.
So, I knew these podcasts were going to be hard, just because it's not like we're going to, so what have you got coming up? So when the world finally goes back to normal, are you guys heading straight back to the dojo, or are you sticking around in Australia for a little while again, maybe to have to save up again before going back, or what's the ideal plan for you guys? Oh, sorry, Zeke. I'll learn eventually.
I guess it all depends on timing, because we've still, I think, had 6 or 7 weeks to go. So if we were to get out of this whole quarantine or whatever and things clear up, and it was at the start of a camp, I guess I'd stick around home or whatnot for the first half and wait until I've got the final 6.5 weeks to complete the camp. But until then, I'm just going to, like, I know what to expect now. I know what the training requires. So I'm just going to stick to doing that. Like, I wrote down all our sessions, so I've got that on my notebook, and do that. But I'm keen. I hope everything goes back to normal sooner rather than later.
What about you, Sebi?
Yeah, it's tough, because I know, well, for me, I just had the idea that I was going to be finishing the 3 months, come back in May, and I'm like, oh, well, homecoming is in August, so I guess I'll do that. I was really keen on all of that. And I think, now it's my priority is to get the dojo course done, see what's coming up out of it, if it's back to Japan, if we get on, say, an Australian tour and kind of get a bit of a tryout or whatever. I feel that is my focus, but at the same time, I just really love Queensland wrestling and trying to help elevate it up to all the other states. So yeah, we're not kind of looked down on, but we're seen on the level of PWA, MCW and all of them.
Mm. Yeah, that's a goal eventually, isn't it? Really, for everything, to try and get as good as we possibly can.
Mm. Yeah, and I think it's just, yeah, we're definitely on the way up. We've got more than enough guys with enough talent. It's just kind of combining all of our assets into making the best show that we can that runs smoothly, which there's definitely been improvements. I think, yeah, probably since homecoming last year, it's for the most part been fantastic, AWA and Pro Wrestling League, but it's kind of, yeah, just kind of getting more eyes on it.
Yeah. The whole...
The online production has been awesome, I reckon.
Yeah, that's where we've really stepped the game up.
Yeah.
Good props to the editor, whoever is editing those videos.
Go away, lad. Well, do you know, that's what the hard thing's been, because I've been trying to find content to go up on the AWL YouTube channel, and a lot of it is all the older AWA stuff, but it's a lot of it's just like one camera. So it's really, for what I'm doing,
yeah,
for what I've been doing with AWA, I hate doing it. I hate putting up just the one camera shoots, because I like being able to do those cuts between. I like being able to do the action replays that I were doing and all that sort of stuff. And you can't really do that with a one camera shoot. So, and a lot of it too.
And I guess you don't
have to. Go on.
Oh, you just don't really want it going downhill, seeing all the, like, Pro Wrestling League and Australian Wrestling League, all the kind of lighting, multiple camera setups and, like, all of that. You don't want people seeing that and then seeing what we were a few years ago and then thinking, oh, okay, they're dropping off, if people aren't really kind of checking the dates.
Well, yeah, well, that's why, like, literally on all the new stuff I'm putting up from now, I've got a little logo that has throwback match written on it. So during the whole match, they can see it was from like a couple of years ago and not. That's why I put the Rufio and Humanity one up. It was terrible quality, but it was such a cool concept that I couldn't not put it up. Like, I think I shared it. I shared it to Mitch and Zero and said, look, I know this is really like the actual match quality of video is shit, but it's such a cool concept that I think it can sneak by, just with the whole space and time shit. And I wish that I'd still had the promo from, like, because what a lot of people don't know is that a couple of months after that, we were filming another promo just out of nowhere. We had Rufio and Hugh fight through that promo out of nowhere, just so we could say, oh, yeah, that fight's still going on somewhere in time.
I think a lot of that stuff, AWA was really good with the grindhouse days, kind of doing
all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's harder to pull off with AWL, and I don't think it could get pulled off with AWL. I mean, it might, but I'd find it hard, I reckon, to do.
Yeah, and I kind of feel you almost need to have own brand for all the niche things. I guess it's kind of almost a bit like MCW with WrestleRock. It's kind of, it is a different fan base that you're targeting.
Yeah, completely. Zeke. So this is one I thought I'd throw at you guys, because I pretty much know what your answer is going to be, Sevi. But Zeke, if people were going to try and find a match or a couple of matches of yours online to watch it, to watch to see what you're all about, what matches would you recommend? Zeke,
What would I recommend? Did you say?
Yeah, matches you've had that are online that people can check out.
No, Toddy.
God. Hello.
Okay, there he is. Would I recommend?
Yeah, what matches of yours, so if people wanted to go and check you out and see what Zeke Andino is all about, what matches online can they check out and see what you're doing?
Geez, one of my favorite matches was my ladder match with Jesse Love for the IPW Unified and Heavyweight Championship that happened, I think, July or August last year, and it was my first ladder match, and man, it was like brutal. But I think it was just like an awesome payoff. Like, we feuded for a fair while, and I don't know, it was a cool moment for me. Like, I just thoroughly enjoyed it. Then I got to wrestle EC Diamond the following month, which is another match maybe check out. And geez, I'd say Tim Cade. I wrestled Tim at the Zoo, and that was just, I had too much fun in that match. It was different. I think
I'll pull you behind the curtain on that one. Timmy actually requested to work you.
Cool.
For having someone like Timmy go, I want to, because Timmy doesn't do that very often with anyone. So if he says, I want to work this kid because, you know, I like him, I think he's got something, I want to work with him, can I do that? I'm like, yeah, go for it. It'll be a good match. So there we go. Sebby, I pretty much know what your answer is, but go on, mate.
Oh, it's definitely got to be the trilogy of matches I had with Xander over the AWA Openweight title. That was, and I guess even the homecoming triple threat with Xander and Brooksy, that was kind of where it, I guess, kind of started. I think Xander is fantastic. He should definitely have more eyes, I think, on him. But yeah, that trilogy of matches, I thought it was as good of a trilogy of matches I've ever had, and probably just about three of my favourite matches I've had. And I just felt we had story going for it, good chemistry. One of the few times I actually felt like all wet. Smash chairs over each other's head, because that's what they do on TV and that's what we want to do. It was like an actual story that it really kind of just flowed, and the whole trilogy is on the AWL YouTube channel with all the promos and stuff. That's fantastically edited by someone.
That's probably the best thing that's come out of this whole deal, is I've had time to sit down and actually do stuff like that. And luckily that we had, because we'd started doing all that stuff where we started doing all the proper promos to lead into the matches and all that. I had all that stuff on hand where I could just go, I'll just put this here. Then the story can lead on with the promo after the match. And it really worked out. Like, it was just an easy, and the thing only goes for like an hour 10, I think, with the three matches. But the beautiful thing about it is that all three matches were different. They weren't just the same matches and with slight differences. Yeah. They're all very different matches, which I thought was really good.
Yeah. What I actually think is funny, thinking even the first one, which was just a regular match, even then that wasn't like just a regular match. We did kind of come out swinging hard. Even in that, so there wasn't even really across the trilogy like just a standard typical wrestling match. They were all kind of unique. I'm very, very proud of those three matches.
Yeah, I just remember arguing with you guys over the finish of that first match. Which is like, oh, I need to get a scenario. I want you to both get disqualified. Don't just like one person and then one. I don't want a winner. Just both of you get disqualified.
Yeah. I remember the whole time we're like, Todd, we need to do this. And it's like, no, do this. Fine, yeah. We'll do that. And then it ended
up. Yeah, but I was always like, do this because we're going here.
Yeah. But yeah, no, we're definitely happy that we listened to our wrestling dad and did what he said because he knew what was best.
I try. Anyway, I want to thank you lads for coming on and trying this new thing with me because this is all experimental. So if this turns out, if it doesn't, I really do apologize. Zeke, if you want to hand out your socials so people can follow you around and when we do get back to wrestling and this world stops being so friggin' crazy, they can follow you and all that stuff.
Yes, I do. Just I think my Instagram.
he's only here for the clout. He's
my
only
Instagram
here for the clout.
Is Zeke.Andino, A-N-D-I-N-O. Facebook's just Zeke Andino. Twitter is Zeke Andino. There's no dots or anything. And then I need everyone to go and subscribe to my YouTube channel. I am by far putting out the best content. Any YouTuber, I will go up against anyone. Go subscribe. I'm gonna take over YouTube one day. And I've got TikTok. Check out my TikTok. That's mint. There's this girl called Charlie. She's got like 45 million followers. Give me a couple months and I'll take over. Guaranteed.
Oh, I actually feel like such a boomer now when I think of my social media because I don't do YouTube at all. I don't do TikTok. My Facebook page, I can't remember the last time I was active on. Instagram is Sebastian Matters and Twitter is Seb Matters. But my Twitter, I will randomly tweet 4 or 5 times a day and then I won't tweet for a month and then I show back up. Instagram is really the only thing I'm actually active on.
Yeah.
I forgot to say that I have a YouTube channel. Please subscribe. Zeke Andino.
And also just Conor McGregor, if you're watching this podcast by any chance, go on to Zeke and Dino's YouTube channel and accept the call out.
Thank you for coming on.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thanks for having us, Todd.
Big thanks to Sebastian and Zeke for joining us. Of course, you can find them on their socials, which is up all the way through the episode if you're watching the podcast version, of course. Podcast version, I'll put them in the links for the description so you can follow them and see what they're up to. Follow Zeke's YouTube channel and see what he's up to. But while you're following YouTube channels, make sure you follow ours. Just hit the old subscribe button and I guess the notifications come up. I'm not really all that technological advanced when it comes to that, but other than that, you can get us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, basically anywhere you get your podcast from. If you do it on iTunes, give us a 5-star, give us a good rating so we can get out there to more ears, and hopefully more people will get onto the show and see what Australian professional wrestling is. Normally I would go into the spiel about like supporting the show and then all the money that we do goes to certain things, which it does. It's anything you buy from Redbubble with WrestleRate Australia, the proceeds from that go to helping Gotcha for Life and Beyond Blue, which I think everyone knows what they do. Gotcha for Life especially for me because it helps teach young men and well, all men, I guess, to talk about their issues, because I know when this whole thing went down, I had a fairly decent sized anxiety attack, and it took about a week for me to get over and to realize that life's not over just because sports over and wrestling's not happening at the moment, which for me it was like, I didn't realize that how much I know how much I love wrestling, but I didn't realize how much it affected my mental health just watching wrestling or doing stuff involved in wrestling or even just watching sport like basketball and rugby for me. It was the same thing. So without those things gone, I was a bit of at a loss to what to do on my spare time. Because God knows you don't want to spend it with your missus. No, I'm joking. But please go and support the wrestlers any way you can. If you go to, I think it's wrestlemerch.com, have a lot of Australian wrestlers have their merch up there for sale. If you can support them at this time, please do. Please go and buy some merch. I'm rocking Mitch McCarthy's and also the Brooksy hat. So go and support them. Get around them. If you want to support actual federations, MCW, of course, have their online, MCW Online. Go and check those guys out, the streaming service. PWA have OVO. PCW have got their own network. AWL, Australian Wrestling League, the one that I help with the videos on. We have our own YouTube channel. RCW have their own YouTube channel. EPW, I think, have even made their subscription service free for the moment. So now is the perfect time. If you haven't really watched Australian wrestling before, is you can go back and check all the back catalogs of these shows and just see the maturation of the Australian industry. And look what my hat's gone all skew with. And if this wasn't a vodcast, no one would know about it. Anyway, I can't even straighten it up. I'm that useless at the moment. Anyway, that's going to be it for me. I'm terrible. It's going to be it for me for this episode of Wrestle Radio Australia. Big thanks again to my guests for coming on. And hopefully in the upcoming weeks, we'll have a few more guests to talk about what we all love, and that is Australian professional wrestling. Stay home, stay safe, wash your hands, all that jazz. Because the sooner we get over this thing, the sooner we can get back to doing what we all love doing. And for us, it's professional wrestling and entertaining you. So until next time, Todd Eastman. See you later, guys.